And turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James, chapter 1. And step by step, that's exactly how we are to live the Christian life. We'll talk a little bit about that this evening. And James chapter 1, looking at verse 22, I'm going to read down through verse 25. And as we've been going through the book of James, there has been a lot of truth that's been just jam-packed into this chapter here, not even through chapter 1 yet. And there's so much more that can be said about it as well. But it's an amazing thing when you study the Word of God, what God teaches you. And many times if someone is living in sin, something that they'll say is this: well, I'm just not being fed. Well, as one old country preacher said, well, the trough is full. If you don't walk up to it, it's your own fault. Amen. And you can read the Word of God, but if you don't apply the Word of God and don't allow the Holy Spirit to do a great work, then you're going to be spiritually famished. Look at James chapter 1 and look at verse 22 through 25. The Bible says this: but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want us to see here in verse 23, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, and then look down at the end of verse 25, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the message that we heard this morning, Lord, that just surrounded your word. Lord, I thank you for working in my heart. Lord, I thank you for the ones that got their salvation settled this morning. Lord, we know all heaven rejoiced, Lord, when a sinner comes to know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray you'd do a work in our hearts this evening. If there's one here that's not saved, I pray they'd come to know you this evening. Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray that you would work in our hearts and help us, dear God, to learn from your word. Help us to see that it's not a book of suggestions, it's a book of commands. And Lord, these things are not there to hurt us, they're there to help us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom that we need this evening. Guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And I pray that all of our eyes and our ears would be fixed on you tonight. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week as we were looking in the book of James, we looked at the difference between hearing and doing. And can I give us a challenge tonight? I'd like every one of us, myself included, to think back to the message that we heard this morning and on Wednesday evening and last Sunday night and last Sunday morning. And at the end of every one of those services, I think all of us would say that the Lord spoke to us in some way. Well, the question is this: were we just hearers, or have we been doers of what we've heard? You see, every single time the Word of God is open, we must be doers of what we hear. So how are we doing with the truth that we heard just this morning? Have we been doing what we have heard this morning and in days gone past as well? Are we doers? We looked at that difference between hearing and doing last week, and we saw there's a great contrast between hearing and doing. We asked ourselves the question, am I a doer? We didn't ask if someone else is a doer. I didn't ask myself if Brother Sean here is a doer. Brother Sean wasn't to ask himself if Brother Frank is a doer. That's not the question we were to ask. We were to ask ourselves, am I a doer? Based on what the Word of God says, am I doing what God tells me to do? And we asked ourselves that question last week. We discussed how the Bible declares that a doer must be continually cleansed on the inside, but also on the outside. We discussed how a doer must be a receiver of the Word of God as well. And that was one of the points of last week's message. But tonight, I would like to expound a little further on that. And as the Lord wills, I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, How to Be a Receiver of the Word. Now, remember last week we talked about how a doer of the word is continually cleansed inside and outside, and also a doer of the word is a receiver of the word. So how can we be a receiver? How, based on the word of God, how can we ensure that we are receiving the word of God? Well, if we are to be doers, we must be receivers. And if we are to be receivers, we must know biblically what that means. So first of all, this evening, I want us to notice this. Number one, a receiver refuses deceit. A receiver refuses deceit. Look at verse 22 of our passage. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at that next word, deceiving. And then it says your own selves. It doesn't say there that be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving everyone else. No, if we are hearers and we're not doers, then we are deceiving ourselves. We as believers, we must refuse deceit. I think we would all agree that we do not like being lied to. I would rather hear the truth that is hard to hear than to be fed a lie. Now, the truth may not make me happy in the moment. I may not want to hear that truth at that time, but the truth of the matter is this. We need the truth. We need, we don't need to be fed a lie and all of that, but what do we see in our world today? We see a world that is full of deceit. That's what it's full of. Everywhere, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're going to find deceit there. From the top of society to the bottom of society, it is filled with lies and deceit. It's filled with hypocrisies. It's filled with deceitful men and deceitful women. And can I tell us this evening, that deceitfulness, that the lies and those things, that spirit of deceit is even found in believers. It is. It's found in believers. Now remember here, James is speaking to believers. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. What does he call them? My brethren. As we ended the service this morning, one of the ones that trusted Christ as their Savior this morning, Carla, she comes forward and I was shaking her hand, and Brother Hummel shook her hand, and Brother Hummel said this after she said she trusted Christ. He said, "You're now my sister in Christ." Why? Because she's trusted Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ if we've trusted Christ. So we see here, plain and simple, that James, the pastor James here, is speaking to believers. And he says this, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What's he saying? Deceit is found even in believers. It can be. And you know who we are professionals at deceiving? Ourselves. We always look for an opportunity to pat ourselves on the back, do we not? That's just how mankind is. Well, look what I've done. There are saved people who have trusted Christ, and they are being warned here of deceiving themselves. How can a believer deceive themselves? Well, we see that in the passage we read here this evening, and there in verse 22 through 24, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Anytime we hear the word of God, every single time, it doesn't matter when it is, every time we hear the word of God and do not apply it, anytime we hear it and do not receive it, understand you deceive your own self every time. Because if we hear the truth and we do not apply the truth, In essence, what we're saying is this: I'm doing okay. I don't need that. You may look good on the outside, but the Bible says you're deceiving your own self. That's what the Bible says. This deceit is found many times in believers, because when we hear the word of God, we see there's something in life that needs to change. Many times we convince ourselves that we are doing okay. We convince ourselves that we are doing enough. Well, compared to that person, I'm doing okay. Well, compared to this person over here, I'm doing better than they are. I'm more spiritual than they are. So they need to grow, not me. Lord, help us. The truth is, anytime we are looking down our spiritual nose at someone else, can I help us here tonight? We're deceiving ourselves. Because all of us have growth to do. All of us, every one of us need to grow. Notice what the Word of God is saying here. When we hear the Word of God, it demands a response. If we do not obey it, we fool ourselves. We may look spiritual on the outside, but if we are not following the whole counsel of God, can I call us a name here tonight? If we're not following the whole counsel of God, we are phonies. That's what we are. It's a pretty funny word if you think about it. But that's what we are. If we say we're Christians, but we're not receiving the word of God. Deceiving our own selves. Here in our passage, verse 23 and 24, notice, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, notice this illustration. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want you just to notice a couple of things here. First of all, notice the word glass. That we see in this passage here when it says he beholding his natural face in a glass. This is not just some piece of glass, not some bottle. No, it's, excuse me, it's talking about a mirror. James is drawing a picture in the minds of the people here. And this picture is of a man who walks up and sees himself in a mirror. Now, when you look into a mirror, you're seeing one person, yourself. That's what you see. We all know that to be true with a mirror. But I want us, before we go further into what that mirror here, what we see into that, I want us to notice in this verse, or in these two verses here, in verse 23, notice, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, notice this: he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth what? Himself. And goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Both of those verses, you know what they're full of? They're full of pride. And they're full of a man who is deceiving his own self. Because the picture that we're seeing here is this. This man who claims to be a believer, claims to be a child of God, claims to be spiritual. He may have his three-piece suit on, and he may be showing up to church, and he may be on the outside serving the Lord. But he's not receiving the word of God. And what he's doing is he's walking up to the mirror. He's beholding himself, and he's saying this: I'm doing pretty good. That's what it's talking about there. He's looking at himself. What's he doing? He's deceiving himself. He's telling himself, I'm doing okay. Sees himself in a mirror, and also notice this, he looks over the things that are wrong. You say, well, how do you know that? The Bible doesn't say that, because there's something wrong with every one of us. There's no one perfect. Every one of us have imperfections. None of us could walk up spiritually to a mirror and look into that and say, everything is the way it's supposed to be, because if it was, then we would already be in heaven in our glorified body. But we're still in our sinful flesh. There's always things to work on. There's always things to do better. There's always a way to grow closer to God. There's always things that we need. So this man walks up to this mirror here, and he looks past all of his imperfections and all of those things, and he says, I'm doing pretty good. And what's he do? He doesn't leave that mirror and go the way of the Lord. No, he leaves that mirror and goes his way. He's deceived himself. He convinces himself that he's doing okay, and here's why. Because he looks better than someone else. And this man, because someone else in his mind is not on the spiritual level that he's supposed to be, he walks away without making any changes that the Word of God has said is needed. And every one of us are guilty of that when we hear the Word of God and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to make changes in our life. It's exactly what happens in every single church service. For every message that is preached, a response is expected from the Lord. Every time the Word of God is opened, He expects a response, because the Bible is just like a mirror. And when we look to the pages of Scripture, what's it do? It reveals to us what needs to be fixed. We either decide to change it or we walk away like it never even happened. And I wish I could say that more often than not, we decide to let the Holy Spirit change it. But you know as well as I know, that's just not true. Because our flesh gets in the way. We deceive ourselves. Some people we see in public, and when we see them, we ask them this. I wonder if they own a mirror. I wonder if they realize what their hair looks like. I wonder if they even glanced at a mirror this morning. We can see it from the outside that it looks like they didn't even look into a mirror, because in our mind we say, how could they go into public like that? There's some crazy things out there. And can I tell you this? It's easy to see physically. It's easy. But although it's easy to see physically, every time we hear the Word of God and do not respond to the proclaimed truth, though we may convince ourselves that we are okay, God sees how undone we truly are. He sees that. If we do not respond to the truth of God's Word, understand the Bible says that we're foolish. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. Let's be receivers of the Word. So first of all, in order to be a receiver of the Word, a receiver refuses deceit. Notice second of all this evening, a receiver is continuing in the Word of God. Continuing. Look at verse 25 of our passage. We see here in verse 25, it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, notice, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, as we look at that verse there, we notice a couple of words. Notice, looketh into. This phrase there, looketh into, looketh into, it means this. It means earnest contemplation of something. So we see in this verse that we are to earnestly look into something. Well, what is that? Well, it's the Word of God. It's the truth of God's Word. We, as English-speaking people, we have a copy of the Word of God, and we should be thrilled to have a copy of the Word of God. We are a blessed people. It was just heart-wrenching to me this morning to hear Brother Hummel say that almost half the population of the world cannot say, I own a copy of the Word of God. We're a blessed people to have a copy of the Word of God. We need to meditate on it. We need to earnestly look into that. We as believers, all through Scripture, we are told to study it, to meditate on it, to hide it in our hearts, because what we study is what we become, is it not? If someone gives themselves to the study of the Word of God earnestly, not someone that is reading it just to try to find a mistake somewhere or something like that, but I'm talking about earnestly continuing in the Word of God. If someone does that, they will draw closer to the Lord. They will. If we give ourselves to the Word of God. read you some quotes here. Charles Ryrie said this, "The Bible is the greatest of all books. To study it is the noblest of all pursuits. To understand it, the highest of all goals." Charles Spurgeon said this, "Remember, Christ's scholars must study upon their knees." Dwight L. Moody said, "Merely reading the Bible is no use at all without the study of it thoroughly and hunt it through, as it were, for some great truth." D.L. Moody also said this, "One thing I have noticed in studying the Word of God, and that is when a man is filled with the Spirit, he deals largely with the Word of God, whereas the man who is filled with his own ideas refers rarely to the Word of God. He gets along without it, and you seldom see it mentioned in his discourses." You want to find someone that's studying the Word of God, you find someone that talks about the Word of God. They're studying it. They're in the Word of God. They're quoting Scripture. They're putting biblical principles to use in their life. Another quote by D.L. Moody was this, "I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible." Wow, Lord help us. A man by the name of James Boyce said this, "Bible study is the most essential ingredient in the believer's spiritual life, because it is only in the study of the Bible, as that is blessed by the Holy Spirit, that Christians hear Christ and discover what it means to follow Him." Church, we must realize that our churches today are filled with weak Christianity, filled with weak believers, and none of us are exempt from that, because not one believer is as strong as they should be. There are some, spiritually speaking, that are stronger than others, and I praise the Lord for that. But none of us have arrived. We need to be given to the Word of God. We need to be continuing in the Word of God. We all have areas to grow. We all have things that need to be fixed in our lives. But believers are weak today because we spend more time studying books than we do reading the Word of God. We spend more time watching the news than we do studying what God has to say to us today. Why do we turn the news on each day? You know why? Because we want to know what's going on today. Lord, help us to go to the Word of God like that. Well, I want to know what's happening in the world. Lord, help us to say, Lord, I want to know what you desire to do in my life today. Be in the Word of God. Continue in the Word of God. Look at the book of Joshua, if you will, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice, speaking of the scriptures here, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We're going to come back to that verse here in just a little bit in point number 3. But understand there, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We need to study the Word of God. We need to continue in the Word of God. Look at the book of Ezra, if you will, chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Book of Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to" what? "Seek the law of the Lord." You want to continue in the Word of God? You need to seek the law of the Lord. Seek the truth that's there. "And to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." You know, as we see there, we know that Ezra was a man that was teaching the Word of God, but he was not just focused on telling others about it. Notice what it says there, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. It would have been easy for him to say, well, I know the scriptures. Here's what you need to do. But instead, he taught them. But he said, we all need to do this, including myself. I need to study and continue in the Word of God. Look at the book of Psalms, if you will, chapter 119, Psalm 119. The greatest chapter, I believe, in the Word of God, about the Word of God, is Psalm 119. We're going to look at verse 15 and 16 this evening. Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says this, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. As we read these passages here, we are met with the reality that saints gone by were students of the Word of God. They were studying it. They were continuing in it. Why are so many Christians weak today? Because as a whole, we have allowed the devil to convince us that because we belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, that makes us spiritual. But that just isn't the case. It is important to come to church. It's important to hear the Word of God preached. Of course it is. But we are to be studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God throughout the week. We cannot only eat on Sundays and Wednesdays and expect to be healthy spiritually. We need that daily bread from the Lord. And He gives it to us. He provides it for us. We need His help every day. We should be continuing in the Word of God. So first of all, we are to be a receiver of the Word of God. We must refuse deceit. Secondly, we must continue in the Word of the Lord. Thirdly, we must be, here's a word that none of us like. You ready for this? Compliant. We must be compliant. Look at verse 25 of our passage here. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Understand, a receiver of the Word of God is obedient to the Word of God. Pastor Moore would often say, obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right heart attitude. When it comes to the Word of God, when the Bible says it, we as believers are to immediately obey it. Parents that are in here this evening, we understand that truth, that when we tell our children to do something, we expect immediate obedience. And we would say, well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. And it is. It should be that way. But yet we often forget that that's how it is when God commands us to do something as well. What would we as parents say? I know exactly what my parents would have done if I did this, but if we said, so-and-so, you are to do this. And they said, let me think about it. Let me see how I feel about it. I'll get back to you later. Well, later may have never came for me, amen. I may have been knocked into what my mom called the second Tuesday of next week, amen. But the truth of the matter is this, we expect immediate obedience. God does as well. Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I've just got some things I need to take care of. That's not immediate obedience. No, we need to obey the Word of God immediately. We must be compliant if we are to be receivers of the Word of God. When it comes to the Word of God, the Bible says it. We are to do it, even when it says things that make us uncomfortable and things that bring our sin to the front of our mind. We must do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Here's some command from Scripture. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Well, there's a command, is it not? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's a command. That's something we can all work on. That requires obedience. It is a command. There's multiple other examples as well, and we must see that we are to obey them, not when it's convenient. You know when it will be convenient to obey the Bible to our flesh? Never. Not one time are we going to say, well, this is a great time to lay myself aside and follow the Lord. Our flesh isn't going to say that. No, our flesh is going to say, well, I've got all these other things to do. I've got these dreams and these aspirations and all of that. I've got things to do. I'll follow the Lord sometime. That's not obedience. You see, we must follow him right away. We are to obey out of our love for the Lord and the acknowledgement of his love for us. We must obey the word of God. We must admire the obedience that a dog shows to its master, should we not? When someone trains a dog to do something, they give them one command and the dog is to do that. And they go through training and training and training. And it's a great process to watch. And we say, wow, that dog is obedient. Why? Because it did what its master said. If that dog decided, you know what, I don't want to do that, we wouldn't say that dog's obedient. But yet, that's how we treat the Lord many times. There was one man that was training his dog, and he would train this dog to sit there and he would train this dog to not move a muscle. And one time he took the dog way out into the forest and he dropped the dog off there, and he told this dog whatever the command was, whether it was sit or stay or whatever it was. And he gave that dog that command, and the owner walked away. The owner walks away a long ways and was going to come back for the dog at a later time to see how obedient that dog was. Well, a terrible thing happened. A brush fire started in the woods. Soon the blaze spread to where that dog had been left, but the dog didn't move. He stayed right there. He was in perfect obedience to his master. The dog died in that place. And the master said this, from that time on, I always had to be careful what I asked my dogs to do because I knew they would do it. That was obedience, was it not? What do we do when the trials come and the flames are around us? Well, many times we throw in the white flag and we run for our lives when God says, stay. Just be obedient. Just follow my word. Just do what I've told you to do. We need to obey the word of God. We need to be compliant. For one to be a receiver of the word, 100% compliance is absolutely necessary. And then notice lastly, we'll be done here very quickly. Notice the reward for a receiver of the word of God. The reward. Verse 25 of our passage here in the book of James. Verse 25 says this, the very end of the verse, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In this life, mankind enjoys receiving an award. Mankind loves to give rewards and make other people happy, but we love to receive them. And when a reward is on the line, people will work hard to get that reward. They will do all they possibly can to win that reward. But when it comes to a spiritual reward, why is it that though we are told that it's there for us, we seem to give very little effort towards it? The Bible says there, it's plain and simple, then verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, so we obey the word of God, we continue in the word of God, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So if you do those things, it says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We know a blessing is there. We know a reward is there. It's plain and simple for us. but yet we give very little effort toward it. That word blessed, it comes from the Greek word makarios, which means to be supremely blessed. It means to be fortunate. It means to be well off. I think all of us would agree that we like to be blessed. We like to be fortunate, and I don't think any of us would complain about being well off. We'll work, we'll sweat, we'll spend countless hours at the job, and we do all of that, of course, because we're trying to pay the bills and care for our family, and we have an aspiration, if you will, in our mind where we want to become well off. We want to be comfortable in retirement. You know, something that I cannot stand is this: when a lazy bum looks at someone that is well off because they've worked hard, and the bum says this, "Well, that must be nice." I can't stand that. You know why? Because the bum is saying that from their couch. Yeah, it must be nice, but you know what that bum was not saying would be nice? The early mornings and the late nights and the sweat and the hot days and the freezing and the cold weather and all of those things. We see that to be the truth when it comes to our earthly finances and things. We would say, well, we'd like to be blessed in that way. The truth of the matter is this. In our spiritual life, Satan will tempt you. He will play all kinds of games with your mind and try to make you question all sorts of things. But the Bible says this, the receiver of the word, this man, not the one who just follows part of what the Bible says, not the one that just says, well, I think, no, it's the one who is a hearer and a doer of the word of God, someone that gives themselves to the word of God, someone that's continuing in the word of God. The Bible says this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, other than scams and pyramid schemes out there, anyone who teaches about true wealth will tell you it takes work to get there. It does. One man said that the best way to get rich quick is to get rich slow. Amen. But everyone that has a opportunity to get out their thoughts, if you will, to the world. You know, every one of them have a book they try to sell for the low price of $19.99. You can become a millionaire for only $20. But wait, there's more. That's how the commercials go, amen. Everyone has a book that will guide you. Everyone has a book that excuse me, is available to you. But when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to being blessed God's way, we have a guide right here. It's right here. And you know the best part of that? It's free. You may say, well, I paid a lot of money for my Bible. Well, you have the opportunity to do that. But can I tell you this here tonight? If you're here and you don't have a copy of the Word of God, I will personally give you a copy of the Word of God. It's free. Everyone should have a copy of the Word of God. You should. Because this is our guide. This is the playbook, if you will. Every one of us need to follow it. But understand, owning a Bible doesn't make you blessed in your deeds. No more than owning a financial book makes you rich. What do you have to do? You have to read it. You have to follow the plan that's laid out. You have to do it. Church, we have the answer. We have the antidote. Look back in the book of Joshua as we read there just a little bit ago. I'm going to read the whole verse again. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You want to have success in life, and I'm not preaching this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it junk that prosperity preachers say. I'm talking about spiritually prospering tonight. You want to do that? Follow the Word of God. You want to draw closer to the Lord? Follow the Word of God. You want to get the victory over some besetting sin that just keeps rearing its ugly head in your life? Follow the Word of God. You want to have victory over these thoughts that Satan keeps putting in your mind? follow the word of God. You see, every single thing we come to in life, the answer is in this book. As I was going over the last couple of weeks, and today included in the teen class, we've been talking about the Bible and its importance, and we're going through the breakdown of the Bible, Old and New Testament, and what books belong to different groups, the law and prophecy and so on and so forth, and those things. And I was telling them this morning, because they had a test in Sunday school this morning, but that test was worth 20,000 points for their team. So it was a weighty test, amen? But I asked them this morning, I said, why is it important that you know how the Bible is broken down in this way? Why is that important? And we said this, because there's going to come questions in life. There's going to come times, and I asked them this question, where do you turn if you need wisdom from God? And of course, they said the books of wisdom, and they named those books and those things. It's important for us to own a copy of the Word of God, but study it. We need the Word of God. Know where to go. For all of life's questions, the answer is right here. But we must continue in it. We need to hear it. We need to receive it. We need to do it. All of those scriptures that we put together yesterday, we did not do that so that they will sit on a shelf somewhere. Now, there may be some of those that sit on a shelf, and maybe years down the road, somebody finds that and reads it and trusts Christ as their Savior and praise the Lord for that. But why did we put those together? We put those together so that someone will read it and trust Christ as their personal Savior, so that they will follow what's in the book that we put together. Lord, help us if we're so concerned about having someone else follow the Bible, but yet we're patting ourselves on the back too often when there's things that we're not even following, that we're not continuing in. Let's have that same application in our lives, apply it to our lives as believers, and let's be receivers of the Word. We have it all right here. Continue in it. Meditate on it. Study it. And you can be a receiver of the Word of God.